Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This would have been a bit of time. CCTV's becoming a bit of a problem for you guys. I'd imagine your football intelligence units are all starting up and the police have just decided we're going to stop this. And to be fair, obviously Scottish football in particular, they're stopped being violence at the games and run about the games. Whereas before that, you could go through, I would go through Easter Road as a 13 or a 14-year-old and they'd be carry on in the enclosure and you'd see violence at the turnstiles. But it seemed to the CCTV and the police got their sort of act together with the way that they managed the police, the football team. Did that put a lot of boys off?
No, because see what happened with the National Firm, we were on the Peters, we were ready to salute.
Well, I was going to come to that because that was funny.
So football was dead fashionable. See the boys for Rangers and all that, who did they might be part of that?
Yeah.
See, after the SNF finished in 98, after we were on the Peters and that, Rangers actually started pulling hangers up. Well, I wouldn't say hunters, but it was a hardcore of 50 that we go week out and week out. We had a wee pub. And see, still at the time, we'll pull us up here, one loon the ball, because we used to have two intelligent recipients and we get them drunk. Right? And from, and I'd be meeting guys going down the stairs to the toilet, doing it. I've all sorts of things under their nose. Yeah. Right? And the blab, we go to nightclubs after that. And it wasn't until later on some intelligence thing was left in a 62 bus. And somebody tried to say I was a grassroots heavy gangsters. It was ever, right? Power shite, right? Because they couldn't bully me. But leave that aside. Seeing the reports, there was nothing that hadn't been in the paper on this report, right? There was nothing that was the end, right? But because I had a star, five of us had a star, unnamed, right? And one was meant to be Moody, right? But what we didn't know was that was your five main guys. That was like the heat of the snake. Right? That's the trope we've seen in everything doing filters. Right? And why the reports is, we don't know how these guys can do it. They drink copious amounts of alcohol. They travel everywhere gone, and then they can go up to the Savoy nightclub and name them look here or there. Uh-huh. Right? 2 years before they realised we were all on that. 2 years. That's how kind of naive at first the police were.
So you mentioned Salou, and that was 98 World Cup. Mm-hmm. Well, the World Cup was in France, and there's a reason you went to Salou. And that was that with the ICF, or was that with the Scottish National?
Scottish National firm. See, a year before, and I remember it, we done a trial run as a mob, went to Gothenburg. I think it was the night, there was an election. There was a night Tony Blair again. Somehow I remember that coming home, right? So we went the day before. We're on the flight and see the talent lamb being the talent lamb. We're just like that. Who's this mob? Right. So we were there to have it with Stockholm, whatever. It's all arranged, right? It's all arranged, whatever, right?
And how many years are in your wee gang at this time? Is it 25 40, again, or he's getting numbers?
45. See them all went with the SNF. It was like committee boys. Yeah, yeah. Right? Yeah. It was all boys who you'd be like, did they take you down to the mental institution? Why are you doing this? I'm like that. I couldn't fathom why he was doing it. Right? I could not fathom. We get to Gothenburg, we're staying a boat. So we go out at night.
As you do.
I was staying at a boat hotel, so we go out at night, and we're at a nightclub. Now, we're all dressed in the nine. Somebody's have got, like, 3 grand worth of gear on, suntans, whatever. Nene's Paul, the only one at Paul was a wee guy for Hibs who pulled a transsexual?
Transsexual.
Thing, whatever, right? I was married at the time, whatever, right? But see, everybody, I had a kilt, even the wee specky, ruddy-faced, steaming guys, they all pulled. If you had a kilt on, you were in. What I mean?
You'd a manny suit. Oh, no chance.
Aye, we were sitting. So anyway, we end up in a mad pub the next day, and it's like, just bizarre. It was like a kind of strip club come sex show come thing me video, and there's a wee dance player and all that. I don't know how we got there, right? So I didn't know getting fingered up all day. I could hear chink noises in this place, right? I could hear chink noises. There was doors that wouldn't open, and swear up my thing, chink noises, I couldn't get in. So I remember I bought a big massive 9-inch vibrator for a noise up.
Right.
No thinking anything about it. Maybe me, because see a lot of the trouble I get into. It's just a wind up. It's just a total noise up that seems to just either gets into trouble or grows arms and legs. Some of the situations what I obviously can't say, right, I've been in, has been through me having a laugh and it gone. One story I'll tell, maybe.
So back to the dildo. You're not getting away with mentioning a 9-inch dildo, right, and finishing that story, Sandy.
Whatever. Right, so the game's nearly going in, right? So we start getting into like a town centre, and there's hundreds of, I don't know if it was trams or buses, so it kicks off a wee bit, right? But it's no really bad.
Where's the dildo?
Dildo's on me, right?
Well, and your arm must do, right?
I forgot about the dildo, right? We're then on duty to have a fight. So it kicks off a wee bit, right? Kicks off a wee bit more. And we spread out in pubs, right? The police came. So the police were coming in jail. They were, I don't know if they'd phones, whatever, but they were at jail, right? So we're eventually jail. Guys, we were getting more or less straight out, apparently, right? Because a couple of guys get to jail twice. So eventually, I'm sitting incognito away at a pub, like, when the police come in, I'm like, oh, find me right, guys, I'll hear you. So I get took to the police station, which was beside the old Uvalle Stadium, where the game was. And I'm getting processed, and I'm like, I hope I've not got any fucking gear that honest. Right, and I remember I get the two best looking coppers in Sweden, right? 6 feet plus, blonde hair, perfect skin, whatever, in for a strip search, something like that.
You're getting strip search with Dolph Lundgren and his brother.
Aye, right, so basically, I mean, I've not got the fucking biggest weapon. It's a grower on the shore, right? It's a blood penis, right? But you know what thing me does to you, right? So I'm stripping off. But this time I'm at thing me that I've no processed, I've got this in my jacket here. And she's, I'm stripping off, I'm like, oh no, I've got this. And I knew, right, I get naked, and I'm like, I wish I'd get to jail with butt, right? They were talking Swedish, and they were absolutely hammering me, like, and they were pointing all that. And I'm standing there like that, bollock naked, I think my penis was inverted, it was going in the way, never mind, there was a wee bit of skin. And I'm like, oh no, please, oh no. And I remember that, I went, and I don't know what they were saying in Swedish, but they were slaughtering me, right? So I get put in a cell and we get out.
Then where's the dildo at this point?
The dildo's away, right? I've been put in a cell and I've been told, look.
And they've seen it?
No, they've took it.
Right? And they're having a laugh.
I tell them, just keep it. I went like that, right? I went, just keep it. I was just like that. My God, that was why the most excruciating things in my life, right? I was like, I said, I get to jail, but it got better, Gothenburg. Gothenburg got better. So the game get played and we get kicked out round about when a flight was going home, right? So we'd all the bags all sorted and all that. And I remember getting to, I can't remember who it was, we get a taxi or whatever, and we go to the airport. And I remember why the boys was at the door and go like that. Gothenburg, and it's all going to kick off. So I remember getting in, and I remember nobody's real in, but lines of thing, right? Lines of people waiting up for the plane now to check in. It's all a big fuss, whatever, right? But it must have been a bit of needle with Scotland fans that I hadn't seen. So I remember we're strong. We used to have a big guy for England, West Ham, Steve. Right, came up, we went with Hibs. He was a man mountain, right? Cracking boy, lovely boy. Fists about that size, right? Just a big game boy, right? Right, and a big scrapper. Huge man. And I remember somebody said, if you hate the fucking English, clap your hand.
Uh-oh.
If you hate the fuck, right? And that's my big Steve's like, I'm English, you know. Cutting me like that. Fuck you. Steve, bang.
This is at the airport?
Yes, at the airport, couldn't again. But this time I've got mere bodies. We've got about 30, 40 maybe at most, right? And then I just remember, there was about 8 cases of beer, right, on this line, right, guys must have found me, right, and they were waiting to check in, whatever, and I just remember, out of the blue, it was like the Red Sea parted, and see, honestly, you could have put dry ice, see my memory, that would have been nicely dry, this big guy, about 6'5", ginger hair, kilt, total Highlander, built like a brick shit house, right? Easily the size of Steve, I'd know more. I went, oh, this will be interesting. Big Steve took two steps and went, bang. The big guy didn't even fall backwards. He fell forwards, right? Next minute, we've got the carry out and we're, it's pandemonium. Within about less than that, right? All the police have came and they've corralled his room to be able to duty-free shops. And I don't think it's a massive airport. It's a dead low airport anyway. And there's the consulate or something for 5 minutes like that, right? They've been lied to us, right? The consulate's here before. So there's an argument about, can we get on the plane? And I'm like, how's you, me being me, right? At night, I went, how do you know, just put a curtain up, right? And I'll make sure nothing happens. I think a couple of boys managed to dodge the police and managed to get on the plane. It was a wee bit iffy. I think David Carrick was one. So eventually, right, we're not getting on the plane, right? So they're wondering what your day is. I'm like, fuck, we're going to do, they're going to jails. So next minute, all you could hear is, baldy casual bastards. What the fuck's that? And it would be, baldy casual, but it'd get louder. Next minute, I don't know how many tartan numbers, the minute, because steaming room the duty free, so we went through again, we were trying to get through the poles again. So that's us, we're definitely not going home now. So what I didn't know was, it was a public holiday. In Sweden, it was a 3-day public holiday. Oh, so we were given a choice. I had a few quid, I had my credit card stream. We were going to be allowed to sleep in the airport if we wanted, but most of the flights were booked. You see, there was one ferry, I think, going to Harwich. I think, no, there was only about 13, 15. Someone slinked away, but it was about 15. So we're like, see, if you don't make that, we're going to jail for 3 days. Right? You need to get to the country. You're basically deported, but no officially. But if you find them, I've got to skin. End up we go to ferry him, he harried. That was an event. That was like your kind of dummy run for Salou.
Right. This is 96,
97. No, 97. I tell you, it was June 97. Tony Blair had a landslide victory.
And your idea is we're going to have some fun. You probably watched all the English on every European Championship and World Cup at the time, having mobbed up and causing chaos. And you just fancied a bit. Is that what happened?
I mean, we were just guys that were committed, and it was a good mob, and there were still mobs gone, and there was mobs you wanted to have it with.
So if I'm right, there was no chances we're going into France for the World Cup?
No, I don't know about that. I don't really know about that, but this was all the people that we were planning to go, right?
So how did you end up going to Salou and not just going straight to France? Did you think?
No, I remember, I think Big Fat James and Mikey, you can edit any names out, right? But they'd have planned it. They'd have wee travel agents underhand at Easter Road. So instead of going straight, because we thought we'd get stopped, we would go the back door via Salou and go through the French world, and we'd tie it in with a week's holiday. But maybe me, I don't know, we just think we're visible. I remember we had a good 50 boys were staying in two different hotels. So I remember we're at the departures bit, and that's when this guy starts asking names, right? You just knew he wasn't a post, he was a wee bit above. So maybe me being a smart ass.
Still in Scotland at the time.
Still in Glasgow Airport. Right. And I'm asking you in my backyard last night, how I went, special branch, right? What's special branch, right? I mean, Sandy, blah, 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 to help me find me. And still the light didn't go on, right? Still the light didn't go. I thought, it's a foreign country, we'll go there. And with the YD, the plan was to have it with Dundee United and Aberdeen at Bordeaux against Norway. Because before the kind of opening game against Brazil, we couldn't go direct, right? And the plan was, if we talked to them, we wanted it again, we'd have it. So honestly, this guy, we fly out, we go to Salou. Now, we're based at two hotels. We've got no trouble, no nothing, right? We're having a good time. We're going out at night now, having a laugh. The game's in a couple of days. But I always remember there was a black guy who was I can say black, can't I?
Say anyone.
Black, right, who was a night concierge, and see every time in the morning, if we were just starting up, they change shifts, and the white guy didn't like the black guy, right, for some reason. Didn't think about it at the time. So after a couple of days, we're due to go to Salou. So we're on the bus, find me. We know we're going to get pulled. We know we're probably going to get tracked, right? But I've got to let us off at Salou. No Salou, sorry. They've got to let us off at Bordeaux. They've got to let us off. And if anything happens, we'll deal with the consequences there. I'd already been deported from France anyway. And then he's going to Marseille. Right, so I knew the French. Well, I knew the kind of thing. So we get to the border. I see, oh my, there just sounds opposed in this guy. I'd 48 some. I've got.
So, you're on one bus?
On one bus, double decker bus. Everybody's getting a drink, whatever we're doing. I'm sitting downstairs with the Hibs boys. I remember coming on. I remember we get in there and you just went, like, right, you know, it's us, right? This wee guy comes on and gets up. I'm dealing with the passports, right? I'm with a part. Me being me, I'll deal with it. So I kept four back. Within not even fucking 2 months, 30 seconds, he's back on, right? Other four, so I went, right, they know who we are, right, well, they're no daft. So anyway, we go through customs, everything. I remember taking 40s, you know, like, there's 40s somewhere in my house, right? I remember we get through, right, and I've got all the passports, and we're slagging cunts for dodgy 40s, moustaches, and all that, right? But see the one night there, I sat with Fat McLeod, with a lot of Hibs boys downstairs, and we're talking about Slateford, right? And he went, we didn't think you would come through. He went, you were game as fuck. He says, nobody's ever done that. And he says, I would have shit it to come through. And you see the Hibs boys, he was way, weren't they happy, right? Mm-hmm. And see that was just kind of validation for still going, yeah. Right? I'm like, because I like honesty. People say whatever. I'll say what I see. And if I see if we get done, see if we whatever, I'll say that. I'll say what I think. I might not always be right, but I won't bullshit. I'll give my opinion. I just don't believe in bullshit. If you get done, you get done, right? But in football, the truth sometimes gets lost, especially on the internet. It gets lost. And
so you're having the conversations with these guys on the bus from Salou up to try and get to Marseille?
No, Bordeaux.
Sorry.
Right? See, I remember, honestly, before we went, England had rioted in Marseille, mm-hmm. right? And I remember the papers were naming cunts for the first time, and where you were, and cunts were getting the sack. No, I remember we were letting people go, oh, imagine that happening to you, right? Because they were naming and shaming before, like, they were convicted of that. Which I thought, well, it's not allowed. What happened in Marseille had a bearing on the trip to Salou, which we didn't know at the time. So, I think it's about, I can't remember, it's about 6 years anyway, right? I think we might get a couple of years kept, and we're coming into Bordeaux, right? Next minute, buses off, fucking surrounded, blah, 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 right? Pandemonium, escorted through. So we took this kind of Polish place where it was like a kind of garage for a lot of the motors or whatever. So we're all took off. There's two pens with like crash barriers kind of type things. There's one pen there, there's a set of stairs, and then there's a kind of wee platform. And there's interview rooms. So we're all fine about it. I'm like, we're all convinced we're going to get processed, find me. And then they can't hold us, we've not done anything, right? There's no law in France to say, right? But we didn't know the law was changed overnight because of Marseille, right? But we didn't know that at the time, right?
So it's temporary laws went in because of fact,
So what happened with us? This is the thing. What happened with us? You were took up these stairs, some at a time, into separate rooms and processed. That what I didn't know was a guy sent me a cat. If it was a grass, it was actually my old friend Kenny Scott, who ended up head of UEFA.
Ex-Rangers.
Ex-Rangers, right? Who was determined to get me for some reason, right? But I got on with Kenny now. He actually got me back in.
Was he working for the police at the time? Was he at Ibrox?
Before he was at Ibrox. Yeah. Right, that was his speciality. Apparently, that's how he ended up here at UEFA. But again, didn't know that at the time, right? But I remember people like, what category are you? I'm like, category? So I'm like, oh, I'm an A. Oh, you know, I'll get in C. And I'm thinking, all right, I'm just a fucking bum. C. We didn't know it was the highest category.
It was only five.
It was right. So that's true, a wee bit of while. It's quite a whole day, I think. But in this other pen, see that old way. What we didn't know at the time is they didn't know what a day was, right? But the law had been changed, they were allowed to hoard us, right? They were allowed to temporarily hoard you for so many years, and then they had to deport you, right? But they had no photo. Where were we going to put these gangs for? So we ended up starving. And I remember we started getting rowdy. Next minute, crash barriers are fucking up like, we want food. We want food. Right, pause like that, and next minute CRS come in. If you've been to France, CRS don't mess about. Right, so next minute we're back on the bus. Before I'm on the bus, I went, what's happening? Where are we going? And the guy who was in charge went, we're going to take you to a school, right? We're going to hold you, we're going to bring a big television in, right? You can watch the game. And then you'll get fed as well. And then we're going to deport you. Right. And I'm like, okay, no bother. So we get drove through to the start now, because they're tight waving up, we're tight, but the windies are whatever. Like, we're pissed off, like, we're getting help, we're not getting off the bus. So shoot as hell we got this thing. And there's this school, kind of school type thing. So there's just CRS everywhere, right? So you got a set of stairs and you went in this kind of like big gymnasium and there's CRS all around them. Like, we're just getting our buzz cut here. Right? That's what we're getting to do.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Again, nothing. Everything's fucking all right. I sure as hell fed us. About 10 minutes before the game starts, I hear we win this big, massive daily to watch the game. Right? So we're sort of a pissed off, right? But so I'm like, what's going to happen? Like, you're getting deported back to Salou. Because they can't deport you for your country. They can only deport you, apparently, back to your country of entry. So anyway, game's done that. We've kept hell for another couple of years. So we're getting put back in the bus window in the state. And I just remember we cracked the bus, trying to boot the bus window out upstairs. Yeah. So I go in the bus and go upstairs and sent me a couple of boys, Bobby Thompson. Can't remember who that thing me. Like. I just remember seeing this guy miles away with a camera. And I'm thinking, oh, it might be fucking right. No thinking anything there. So we go back came, escorted up. The funny story, see the bus, we were monitored on the French CCTV motorway thing, and actually lost this for 2 hours. Couldn't find us, which says a lot about the French, right? Because they knew what route we were going, but apparently we went off a radar for 2 hours, and that's how when we go to Bordeaux, it was pandemonium.
But, so you're back in the bus, they're sending you to Salou.
Right, so we'll get back to Salou, right? And I'll tell you a wee bit more about Salou that we didn't know at the time, right? So we've been having a great time, but we did no hassle.
How long are you still going to be in Salou before
about
you
another on? 3-4 days, right?
So do you know what's happening in the Sunday Mail and all that at the time?
No, we don't know, right? So we'll get back. So remember the next day we get back, we're at the pool, and we're having a good time, right? And I remember when the things go like that. So I can't remember who it was. Said, phone call here, somebody for the Daily Record, and they want to speak to you. Whoever's in charge of this mob, whatever. So me being me, I'm like, hey, I'll go.
I'll take a call.
Right, so I'm getting up. And I'm like, aye, what is it? Blah, 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 blah. What's your name? I went, Julio. He went, oh, that's a good name. So he went, hey, we want to get a scoop in the story. Find me your point of view. And I'm like, no, I'll get it. I ended up, I did the thing with the Daily Mail because I didn't think it was well read in Scotland. Right, I done a wee thing. But what's that? No, I mean, no, I'm not company, and they've started name names. We know who's there, we know who's thing me, right? So named after hands of names, and I'm like, good, I'm knowing that, right? Think me smuggling this phone at the reception. Then next minute, he went like that. Sandy Chug, Mark Hendry, and can't remember who else, Colin Belfort, are signing a fucking holiday villa out the road, right? And I'm like, nah, dear. Nah, and I went, don't come near this hotel, you get filled in. Because by this time, we were pissed off, didn't get a fight, and my thing me. So I remember that night, we were no bother at all. So I remember there was this dancing Snoopies, right? We'd be out on it. Some of the boys went, I'm upstairs and I fell asleep, I get woke up. That moan, fucking bang, we're going ahead with the bouncers at Snoopies, right? By the time I get it, it's carnage, there's a moped actually through the main glass thing, right? The bouncers have been chased all the way out the street, right? Three boys get an act, Ramey McNulty and that. They know all the papers, right? They get to court, they get fined, I can't remember, right, but they get out. So that was kind of, so we're getting hassled with the thing, right? So we're coming to the end of the holiday. And I remember the day shift, the white guy who was with me, he went, He went, you, because I was quite pal of him. He went, see him, talking about the black guy you knife him. He says he was undercover police, that's why I didn't like him. He said, nothing to do with his collar. And I'm like, right, okay.
This is the guy that's working in the hotel.
Aye, it was a night concert. He was basically undercover. There was another hotel we were staying. So I don't know what the thing was there. So anyway, about a day after that phone call, I went to my ma, I went and phoned my ma. I went, don't know, right, but I had the press on the phone, I saw this carry on, blood. My ma and that knew to get to jail. It might be in the papers. She went, okay, sorry, son, I've been up in the door, I've given my 40. I went,
no.
What? She went, I'm trying to say you're a good boy. And I hung up the phone. So I knew it was kind of quite serious, but no. So I remember the next day before, yeah, it's going to be in the papers. Do you know, you couldn't get a daily record in Salou for love nor money. I think two of the brothers for Campus Lang went to Fingby and got a paper, and I'm going down the street, kind of like, trying to figure out what's this, right? And I'd done a lot of things, we should have been on the internet, weren't they, thinking, and these guys had been in the paper, spread all the paper for the kid on at Sunderland, so they knew the script. He went, Sandy. I went, what is it? He went, think really bad. I went, right. He went, and then times it be 10. He says, your front page, you're getting the blame for everything. Bloody, bloody fucking blossom. Other people I mentioned, Mark Henry, but I'm getting fucking done as a ringleader, so I'm like,
I don't know you at the time.
I went, if you go to a fight, I'm pissed off, right? I'm just going with my son who's here. Happy birthday, Nathan, by the way, right? 19, right? And I'm like, I'm doing well. I'm going to court. I'm still involved in shifting, but I'm kind of flying at that time, right? I'm a cleverest guy in my class. I'm doing an HND in sports coaching development. And the lecturers can't understand. Speak guy, all the clays, whatever. But he's clever. They couldn't fathom it. We're trying to fathom up why I'm actually thought I was bent because I was so secretive about things, right? And he was bent with three veins trying to come on to me. I'd fucking nearly stuck
a lecturer.
A lecturer, right? My favourite lecturer, I know. And what I thought, he's a travel company, I know, specialising ski trips to France. So I mean, when I was college, that's before we went to sort of, I mean, I know what you're all about. And I went, how am I about, Rod? Right? And I'm expecting here, I know you're a fucking fit boy, you're looking, it's on. He went, what about me? And I'm like, what mean you? I went, have you seen what I'm thinking? I'm saying, I went, I must have a gaydar, whatever, like, it's not the first time fucking, well, you could think you went going, no, say to anybody. I came in and I tell everybody, right? I was gutted because he was my favourite lecturer. He just had a way. He just showed me, I know, people are living lives. See, people who portray themselves as normal see some of the dark secrets they've got. Whether it's judges or lecturers, whatever, right? People have got some dark secrets. So, put that to bed. So, we're gone home. We're at the pool. We've got our bags. And I had a mate, Gary Christie, who done a lot of things for me, right? So, he'd phoned him. Well, flying out, I think, for Russia, which is a wee extra, he went, Sandy, he says, there's about fucking 100 reporters and cameras at Glasgow Airport. Now, Gary was prone to having a wee lie, whatever, and we're like, aye, we knew it was going to find me. Didn't know how bad. So we're on the flight going home. A lot of boys, we used to drink in this pub, and it was like an England pub. A lot of boys were wearing England t-shirts just to know that. I had a train Spain trackie on, with a hat and sunglasses. I'm not the biggest of cunts. Now, working through, whatever. Next minute, I'm pulled with customs, obviously because I had a drug charge. So I'm getting stripped. And I'm all right, blah, 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 blah. Right, so that took easily about half an hour. So by the time...
And everybody else is through,
everybody's
obviously.
Everybody's through, right? Yep. But one or two knew that I hadn't been through. A lot of boys end up in the press there and all. So I remember when I got out, I'm coming out, my stepdad's there, and he's like, right? Uh-huh. Still too afraid, I just walked right by him. But this went on for days. They were fucking bringing up stuff because I signed a thing to allow a guy to run for the BNP, which is his, because I stayed in shops, and I went, that's his electoral right. Doesn't mean to say I believe in my guy, to do a favour. I went, aye, I might have had right big views, but they tried to go down that angle and all that. Right, power crap. They used that angle and all. A year later, when I got a job with direct inquiries, how can I help you? Right? I always seem to bounce back, right? And I had about three or four different lives. I had three or four different faces for different things. You know what I mean? I should be a serial killer because I could compartmentalise things. You know? But end up with spirited away. I mean, they were going to the pub, I drank and all that.
The papers.
It was a rough pub. Never tell. For me, eventually you would be in. I think they were, that Jim Murphy, who was MP for Eastwood, was trying to bring in a lot about football hooligans shouldn't be banned, shouldn't be allowed to go anywhere for that, but weren't they convicted? So occasionally things would pop up. But by that time, Hibs had kind of finished as a mob, and all of a sudden we are pulling a good 50 solid boys right into it again. Maybe more at times, right? Right, but a good 50, and we're camped up, was that pub in the town? It's a restaurant now. Whatever, right? And that was our headquarters. See if you didn't know anybody by name, you didn't get in. Right? You weren't the, and we used to, honestly, we used to go everywhere. I think we went up to, was it what we have it? We, Hibs, when we went up with Arbroath, they were playing Dundee in the Scottish Cup game. And so many of us got off, and it was some mob of Hibs that event. It took ages to come down. See, it was bizarre. I remember meeting John Brown in a pub.
John Brown, the player?
No, it wasn't John Brown. It was David Dodds. And we're having a drink. We're waiting to Hibs come back. And it was quite well camered, this street, right? So I'm like, the boys, Hoffy's going because we've got to get the train up to Montrose. And we've left about 10, 12 if we're lucky. Next minute, Hibs have come round. Like, right, there's a big camera above us. We know what's going to happen. There's videos here. If you look, there's videos here. So about 10 of us front up, Hibs have... I've got Merlin's, right? So it's kicking right off in the thing, right? The street.
Sorry.
People are falling over each other. I remember a guy got down coming out of taxi, which was rang, right? One or two, no, for me. So get split up. I can't go myself. I'm fighting a wee bit. I go myself away. I had dark gear on by this time, right? Try to keep my head down, right? But fucking, you can recognise me in my walk with these mad eyebrows for 100 years, apparently. So we get back home, we get poking on to the station. And I'm like, right, we're going to get done. Now my mate Kenny Brown has a bright red jacket on. See, you see the video, he's banging about it. We were looking for an individual, blah, 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 red jacket. So Kenny gets lifted. So we didn't go to Arbroath, we went home. And I plotted up in the pub with my boys. And I went, no, that's no good. So what we did, you know, Scottish Cup Day, what we did, you know, was Aberdeen were playing. You're doing it else, whatever, right? So we're on the auctioneers, but this time we're drinking a pub auction. We split between these two pubs, quite a Rangers pub. So we're on the auctioneers getting bladdered, whatever. Next minute, somebody's been like, there's a mob of Aberdeen coming through here to get the train. I'm like, I don't know, whatever, right? But 10 minutes later, two boys come in, we're scouting, went and they're outside. Next minute, we go outside, and it's just fucking pandemonium, right? They'd actually get by the thing, man. It's pandemonium. My boy get caught here, whatever. Right? I'm up fighting, whatever. And I remember that wee monkey put me in my house with a trolley. With a brolly. I managed to get back up. There's so many fights here, whatever, right? Next minute, the police come. So we back half a bit. Right? Now, that's all CCTV, and all, but it's very, very dark. Right? It's very, very dark. So we get... For me, Bob Aberdeen trying to claim the chases, but if you see the video, we're tagging out the road to the police. Maybe they chase one or two stragglers, right? So I'm like, oh, fuck, right. Two fights in the one street, different cities. Who was the only person that got done for the two of them?
The same day?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was the only person picked. But some people were picked out.
That must be a world record.
No, it was the name old pal Kenny Scott, right? I hadn't really done anything on the video. See, in the 80s and all, if you were done for a football breach, there'd be a load of these, and we used to just kick into the long grass, right? Try to get it put back. Then eventually land in a PS test after 2 years, and they go like, right, then a deal. Right, so many would plead whatever, or the PF would look to see who he thinks is doing the worst. So I'm thinking, but at that time, I'm done for two. And I think I'm going to get up with fucking 4 or 5 years. It turned out, done a deal for Aberdeen, big bars and that, get a deal for that. See the one in Dundee? I'm just taking that right through trial. No, I'm like, no, I don't give a fuck which CCTV they've got, because you can't see my, you never see my face. You see what I'm wearing. Right, but there's no proof what I was wearing anywhere else. And they done a deal with Hibs, and they started giving them fines. So it was put back again a couple of months, I get a fine. So, no deal. See the time Aberdeen, or Kenny Scott and that, there was a deal done, and do you know Kenny Scott and that, tried to change the trial, tried to went to PF, like, we just want him, meaning me, right? Want him, don't care, and PF's like, can't really see him doing it in the video, I can see him coming back forever, but some guy gets some doing it, which I didn't know, right? Some Aberdeen guy, right? So I think Big Baz not get jailed for that. So many played for ever, but I they try to change the trial just to get me.
So if after the 98, it seemed to pick up again, did it? No, 2000s and
I would say the tightest wee mob of Rangers was the mob that went kind of in the 2000s.
Yeah.
Right. With a mob that would drink everywhere.
Is it the same guys or just about 20 years older? Is that what's going on here?
No, there was a lot of new guys coming, right? There was guys you knew, right? There was a hardcore of 50, week in, week out. Now, we would go anywhere to have it with anybody, right? But no with TV cameras, right? Mm. No wee thing. No, I'm just like, I can't do this anymore. Eventually, I'm going to get the nick, and I'm probably going to get the nick for something stupid that I don't do, in, which came through years later, right? 20 years later. And we'd go everywhere. And I just kept going, so I just wanted Aberdeen out the road anywhere. I used to drink in Bridge of Dawn. I knew where they drank in Cumbernauld. I knew the places where it was the CCTV in Aberdeen out the road. And I don't care what wee monkey not say. I tried for ages, and they didn't want to know. And then eventually they met Selick at you're coming into Aberdeen, there's a hotel, and a couple of them get done. Where I wanted today, but that time they had kind of decent CCTV there. But we just couldn't get them out of the way in Glasgow anyway. Anywhere, like no cameras got that. They just wanted to just come right down. I go to your stage and all, I think we're up to Bridge of Allen, was it? To the pub before we were drinking and they were away. And that was probably the reason I kept going. So that was respect for Aberdeen, because I had respect for him as a mob.
I'm conscious that you're the guest and know me, so I don't want to sit here telling stories. Mm-hmm. But when you and I get friendly, which would have been 08, 09 through kids' football, funnily enough, for all the two as Rangers fans, one of my earliest memories was we were in the bowling club in Camaslang.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what we were doing there, if it was after a game or whatever.
Certainly we're only playing bowls.
Your phone, certainly we're only bowling. And your phone was gone constant.
Uh-huh.
And we'd nicked out for a fag. I was smoking at the time. And you went, look, how many of yous is there? Right. And how many of them is there? And I think the story was it was two or three Aberdeen in a pub in the town.
Aye.
And your boys had seen them.
Uh-huh.
And they were mob-handed. Uh-huh. And these boys were two or three.
Uh-huh.
And you were like, I know he took liberties with me, but think about what he's about today here. Uh-huh. And you were basically telling your guys not to go into the pub and smash these two or three Aberdeen.
Uh-huh.
Can you remember that situation? Okay. And I remember you and I had been pals for months, a matter of months. Mm-hmm. And I remember hearing about this notorious Sandy Chug and this thug guy and this guy that was, you know, the devil incarnate. But that early on told me, no, hold on a minute, this isn't the guy that I'm meant to be sitting next to. This guy was basically telling these guys who were wanting a bit of a rumble not to do it because they were taking liberties. And I thought, there's a different character here. This isn't the character that I seen in the front page of the Sunday Mail in the front of the bus at Salou. Because I remember, you know, when I was 15, it should have been 28 in mid-20s when they carry on in the 98 World Cup. And then I got to know you as a pal. And then very, very quickly I thought, no, this isn't the painted caricature of a football thug that you're meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems that you had this, we spoke earlier about, was there an unwritten rule that if somebody's down, they're down and you don't take liberties? And you said, well, that's meant to be the case. But I think you have got the principles. Or that night, you could have quite easily said, oh, do you know what, boys? Steam in.
I'd like to think, I'm not saying I never took a liberty, because that'd probably be a lie. You know what I mean? Liberties harm. Right, but generally in life and that, the way you go about, see, was a lot of fun. People think because you like what you do. I only want to fight with like-minded people. It's very, very rarely anybody's get a doon. Who was it, right? If you're looking to, see, if you know you're all right, you're brand new, it's when you've got a problem, right? People have you pigeonholed and that, or you're daft and whatever. I've got faces for everything, right? I just like doing that. You know what? See the effect I had in my life. I've no regrets really in life apart from the effect it had on my wings, right? And I spent too much time maybe when they were younger. I thought, no more important, but that was just the be all and end all and the pals and whatever. And I done my bit my wings, right? But I should have done more. I should have been more there. You know what I mean? I mean, I would be, right? But that to me, it kind of was me. I don't know if it was ego. I don't know if it was. I think it was a kind of ego thing. See, looking back, my thing. I've always just wanted to be accepted, right? I don't know, accepted. And I always felt all right in kind of gangs, whatever, because I was always maybe why the wee games, why the most important. And I think it made up for my dad even in the hut. And me always wanted to prove myself, because he's a young boy. I always felt I had to prove myself. I mean, I was called Alexander Chug, which isn't even my name, right? But I've kept it because it's my sister's name, but it's my family name. Imagine being called Alexander Chug growing up. In the East End of Glasgow, you know what I mean? I get bullied, my brother gets bullied. And eventually, I mean, as I say, I'm no people. That's what I'm saying. You're pigeonholed. People have got this perception of you. You're 6 feet four. You're a new but loyalist. You hate fight. Right? I'm a British patriot who supports Northern Ireland. I'm not a new but loyalist, right? I know that's been a dirty war. I can respect people for the Republican side because I can argue about it. I'm a slightly educated about it, right? And I say to anybody, if you want to believe in something, you know what? At least read, have a modicum of education about it to hold an argument and know when you can. Because see, that frightens people. But it doesn't mean you've got to hate them. I hate Celtic. I hate everything that club's all about, right? But see if you're my pal. Because that's the way I was brought up in a scheme. If that's your pal, right?
It doesn't matter, but
we're all different. Mm-hmm. Do I hate Celtic? Do I hate? Aye, of course, right? But I don't need to hate the person who's got to believe. See if they're all right and you know, and you respect my beliefs. We can fall, have a laugh about football. You have a laugh, but the good thing is I've been all Northern Ireland hundreds of times. Thank God it's not out here. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because I don't see there's any situation, and it looks like with a ballot box there might be a United Ireland at some point. I do not know how that'll work.
Yep.
Right? And I've always said to people who disagree with the Republic, see if it comes with a ballot box, can't go against. Right? I don't know if I'll have the same opinions, right? I don't know. I don't know what the people on Northern Ireland want to do with EU and all that. I don't know what's best for them. But I do strongly believe Northern Ireland should always be British.
Mm-hmm. Conscious of the time that you've already gave me, Sandy, and I'm thankful for it. And I think you and I are all pals and we've not been face-to-face for a while, so we could sit on eight and I've done before.
You know me, I like to talk.
Well, one of the things I was thinking about is talking on eight was Monday night when ended up with me, you and me, McGill. Chaos, right? So we've proven that we could do it. Mm-hmm. We sat all night and have a blether, and we've not had a good catch up for a while, so it's good to hear for you again. So I'm just conscious just to finish off with some bits and bobs to give folk a different angle on Sandy Chug and the Sandy Chug at Arno. Already touched on the fact that me and you met through coaching kids football together, and that would have been about 08-09. You were good at it. The kids had this affection for you that I think. Not only did you have the technical ability to be able to coach, but you had the character that kids actually took to. And I remember when we were at Drumsaggard in the early days, there was somebody made a complaint, but I can't remember where they went. They went to a paper or went down some official route. But somebody tried to
That was people we kicked out of the club.
Right.
But we know who it was.
Aye. But there was people there that were trying to affect you because of your past, regardless of the good that you were doing at that particular time. But would you know what I liked? It was the reaction at that goal. And see the amount of people that came and spoke. Well, it would have been dead easy for me and Graham Ireland and stuff to say, stop your man, he's a good coach and he's good with the reins. But see some of the parents for the different affiliations to football clubs that came out and spoke to you. That must have made you feel a bit proud at the time and the reaction that it got.
Oh, no deal. I remember that time. See my book, basically. There was two things I'd done the book. I was starting the book, and then I heard Davey was doing his, and he'd done it with Martin King, God rest his soul. And Davey's a really, really top guy, and so is Martin, but it wasn't proofread. It was writing. I'd been approached to the book, so eventually I'd done a book, and I went, no, what, I'm going to do this book and see it, and again, I'm going to put it into the club.
Yeah.
Right? I was going to be right, because at that time, I didn't need the money. Right? And the club benefited, you know what I mean? The thing with Vice, when we done Vice thing, we took them up, club gets stripped.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Just people, see these people I know who throw stones. They think they've got a good job, they've got a good life, I had all that, but my past or whatever I did, I'm totally open. I don't kid on or mention to anybody else. I'm a who I'm a, right? And I've fun. All through my life, paragons of virtue. See, the people who are most judgmental, whatever, tend to be the people with the most secrets, who would do you in a minute, who would be the wee weasel grasses at lighting the jail, right? These people, because they think, they're leading respectable life, and I've got a good job, and this, that, I've got the big fancy more, right? A lot of them are kidding themselves on. See the thing about my past? There's a lot more in my past that's never made the papers, and will never make the papers, and if you know me well enough, you'll know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
I've spoke briefly about it here. I've kind of, if I made to it, I've allayed to it, but there's more stuff than that. I'm just a wee guy for East End, right, who grew up, things affected me in my childhood, which I can't go into, right, which took me when I had a real breakdown in my 40s. My marriage crumbled, I gave up everything, right, and I didn't think, I spent 5 years waking up, no thinking in my wings, going, I just want to die.
Yep.
Right, I had the capability to kill myself, and I just said, that's fault to live. But I really, every time I woke up, and you knew it was really about time or something, yeah. I was in a minister, yeah. I would be all right, and then I wouldn't be in, I'd be all right. And I go to your stage, I went, I just don't want to wake up. I don't want to shame my name. Mm-hmm. And it was my free wings that kept me going. And see me, I'm just a normal guy. I'm clever, I'm generous, right?
Mm-hmm.
I might do things other people won't do, right? But I'm not a bad guy. I've never really hurt him that doesn't want to be hurt, or whatever. Still have somebody who didn't.
Yeah.
I'll live deliberately go to hurt anybody. Like any individual that ever, right? It doesn't make me a good guy, doesn't make me, right? But I'm no huffed off. I'm very generous. Seeing I fell down, I didn't realise how much good I'd done to pals around about me, because you forget about all that, you're in a black hole.
Yep.
Doesn't mean to say I'm perfect. See me, I'm Sandy Chug, I'm imperfect, right? I'm just a wee guy from East End who loves Rangers, who's got political views, right? But see, if you get to know me, you don't like me, fine, because it's no popularity contest, right?
There was one thing that was through the Sons of Struth years, and we could do a whole episode on that in itself, so I don't want to get drawn into the Sons of Struth stuff that you and I done. We could talk about wee blue boots and all the Kenny one we had. The one thing you had an incredible knack for, I knew you were suffering at the time, I had my own demons to deal with at the time, and for long times I was dealing with myself, because
mm-hmm.
you were dealing with your own stuff and I was dealing with all the Sons of Struth stuff. But one thing that I'll be eternally grateful for, see, when I needed you had this knack and own and turning up. And it didn't mean it could be times when I felt insecure, times when I felt threatened, times when I needed somebody just to lift me up, sometimes to introduce me to something. And it was a strange 3 years, because I'd say 70-80% of it I was dealing with Sons of Struth myself, which was the 2 years it started. But see, the 25-30% of you were there, it more than made up for it, because it was just the timing. And you probably don't even realise some of the stuff that you've done that just pulled me right out of holes. But one thing I'll never forgive you for, Kilmarnock.
Oh, right.
The story was, we're running a kids football team. Rangers are playing Kilmarnock to win the league at Kilmarnock. And by pure chance, your team's playing at Kilmarnock that morning, and Rangers are playing the afternoon. So the deal was, I'll drive down and you sort us out with tickets. And you waited till the Wayne's game was finished. You went in and got changed, and I'll cover what you came out dressed as in a minute. And you went back in, I could only get one ticket, going to drop me off at Rugby Park, right? And I'm raging, right? So I've got me, you, Ben, and I think Elliot. And the deal's now, I have to drop you off at Rugby Park, and the 3 years are going up the road in a hurry trying to watch it on the telly. But when you went in to get changed to go to the game, bear in mind we're head to toe in Drumsagger training, coaching stuff at the time. When you've went, I'm going in to get changed, I'm thinking nothing of it, because I'm thinking you've got a pair of denims and a polo shirt or whatever. And you turned out as a referee. You walked out the door dressed in a bright yellow referee's outfit, and I'm like, this crackpot's gone to the game. What was that all about?
Well, the mother of my three kids, Kerry, her dad, Jim Coyne, he'd been a grade one linesman for years, so he had all the kit and that. And Celtic being Celtic, I can't remember that particular season, but Celtic being Celtic.
Moan about him.
Oh, just, I'm sorry, do you want to know something? Always cheated, never defeated. Offended by everything and embarrassed by nothing.
Yeah.
And I don't care what any team, no matter how rubbish my team is now, or they think. See, even there you go, I have a conversation with a boy, a really good pal. You said I've just won the league, right? Now I went to Ibrox for the first time in Asia, and no, the first thing he said to me on the phone was it apparently. I went, what are you talking about? He went, Aberdeen. I went, you've just won the league, Jim. What are you bothered about us?
Rangers penalty.
Aye, so but the thing with the referee, right, was basically Celtic were moaning about referees. You, all the time, Celtic never get good decision or bad decision, whatever. So I thought, right, I'm going to dress up as a referee to bam it up. And I think it was bright red.
Right? It was almost a pinky orange, actually. Aye, that's right.
It was the official kit, not me with my wee skinny spindly legs. Right? I had to go and buy a pair of chinos later on Kilmarnock to get in a pub.
Right? My vision was drop me off as near the ground as we could get before the police were cordoning off. And you just wandering across the street as if it was normal. And almost to a man, everybody in the that busy, obviously, had forgot to get him. They're just staring like, what is this crackpot doing, right? And as he's away. And then that was the day we won. Was it 30 minutes? We're 3-0
up. 3-0 up.
The game was done. And just one last thing, because it's the most recent thing. Wigan. Now, Wigan was mental for so many reasons. I was working at the club at the time, if you remember, and I hadn't long started doing a match day job. And was it Olivia was the match mascot that day? Mm-hmm. So I was outside the stadium doing bits and bobs. I've just come into the stadium, went up to the control room, and Robin Howe, the gaffer for the security, has been, Ryan, here's your daft mate. Now, the stadium was empty at the time. Mm-hmm. You were pitch side. They were getting photographs and getting photographs mm-hmm. and the thing. And he's like, go and grab a high-vis jacket and go down and tell him he's getting flung out, right? So the 2 years were coming down the tunnel and I was, how you get out here? And I laugh and I cuddle on that. But the weirdest thing was Robin Howe was determined to get a 40. He's like, come on, we'll get a 40 with it. And he got a first of all 40 being your thing standing in the tunnel. Mm-hmm. Then he shouted the club photographer. Mm-hmm. Was walking past and he shouted to him to come and get a 40 of the 3 years. And I was like, what are you doing? And he's like, I spent that long trying to keep you two away from the stadium for various different reasons. I think it's brilliant because he had a bit of respect for you. He certainly speaks very highly of you even to this day. And then it went Pete Tong. And I said to you, Robin Howe said to you, even Scott, was he still with the cops at the time? Everybody was like, Sandy, enjoy your day. We all knew there was going to be trouble in the town. Uh-huh. Enjoy the day with the Wayne. You're there, you were suited and booted. You had, you know, dress trousers, shirt on. And the wheel still fell off at that day.
It just run you through that day. Like, obviously, Nathan had been a mascot. Olivia was a mascot that day. Yeah, I think it was through Big Andy, with family. Yeah. But it was basically a thank you, because if you remember, played a year dance up at the hotel on Sucky Hall Street after we get Gub 5.
No, UB's turned up.
UB's turned up. I tried getting the main players, but this guy in Bird Bouncer's like, oh, you can't get in, blah, blah. So we were just there for a meeting. We went to the meeting with somebody, why the staff of that. And I think Robin came and spoke. And I went, right, I want a meeting. He went, oh, I arranged a meeting with Stuart Robertson. Now, by this time, I knew Gerard was coming in. And next minute, all this mob came in. And they're determined to get into the main hall and battle players and all that. So next minute, I got the two birds. I went, look, where are you going? I went, go short. And they're looking at me going, that. I went, go short, that. So again, I get myself at the door and I'm like, look, guys, understand, I'm going to try to get for me. I went, this is the wrong way. Go by all the peers, whatever. Even the new, I went, you've made your point. You go in there and do whatever. I went, you're going to look horrendous. Right? We're going to look. I went, I get it, right? I went, I want to go and smash players not right? I went, it's no the answer, right? I went, it's, I says, I get how you feel. I went, plus you're getting as you. I went, you've made your point, you'll just go. So, took about 10 days, I'll go, right? I remember walking by the two foods in the two of them. I winked at one, right? They just looked at me.
Who's this?
The two bouncers at KS. Oh, right, who the fuck? Marlon, but who's this wee gimp? Know what I mean? So, obviously, Oliver was for me, day of the full season, to a bloody, bloody, blah. We're up in the game. Do I knew there was going to be trouble in the
yeah. right? I think everybody knew
right?
that there
had been trouble, right?
Was it Airdrie had teamed up with him or something?
It was Partick worth, Thistle. Was and, so all of it is a basketball now. We got up behind me. The game finishes. I'm going to hear me, my ex. I think me and your mum, me and Kerry were apart that time. Mm-hmm. Olivia was moaning because I'd stole two cans of Coke out the hospital. I went, Olivia, you might have taken for nothing. I went,
free.
You're lucky there's no booze. I would have been emptied. So, me and Kerry have a fight in the gobbles. I might go in the tune. I'm basically like, I'm out, right? Spice boy, whatever. Now, I get in the tune. I had a usual problems with a mobile phone. Couldn't charge it, right? So, I get into the tune. The Toby Jug, where I knew everybody was going. Now, I was telling Wigan were away. So, I get into the Toby Jug. There's about two or three guys here. And I'm like, what's up? I'm like, G-Man's going to call him. They find me now. I mean, all right, you'll have a drink. Find me. I say, I'm going to go home. So, next week, one of the young mob came in. One of the young UB. And I'd actually walked up by that Sir John Moore's up the route. Nobody about. I'm thinking Wigan are away. I'm no key. I'm just wanting to have a wee thing with. So next minute, like, Wigan are doing that Sir John Moore's about something. I mean, I'm just walked by there about 10 minutes. But must have been a bit longer than that, right? I'll go down and see. So I go down. Bear in mind, I've got these daft painted shoes, right, that I hated, right? Borg or whatever.
I think it's the only time I've ever seen you with shoes on.
Right? And I'm so I go down. So I know... the boys are coming on a bus route. So I was I went on, I go to the corner, aye, there's about 70, right? So I cross the road to try to intercept this bus. Because they were going to get off, I went, don't get off, there's millions of them. Bus comes. Nobody, no bus comes. Then next minute the bus comes. These two big, two lanky guys, specs, brand new Rangers scarves, right? Look like the Proclaimers, right? And by this time there was a guy in the corner, a Scottish guy, so it turns out it's a Thistle boy. Was fuck the hands, fuck this, whatever. Just been a pest, an annoying woman and all that. So, remember going out to you, I went, here, look, pal, I says, this guy's going to try to be wide with you, right? I says, whatever you do, you just get to, and I'll deal with it. We get there. And I don't know, people say, oh, Denny, I know when somebody recognises me, I know when somebody recognises me through my back, right? I'm shooting about, and he just turned around to me, and I don't know if it was the way I was looking, I went, are you Rangers? And I went, aye, how? So next minute he's went to banjo me. I've kind of found me, as I say, I'm no great thing, me. I've went to fling a punch back. Sorry. Next minute, guys came for the time, bang. Before I know it, I'm on the deck, and I know there's more than two getting into me. And I remember just going, cover my head, going, don't get knocked out, because I'm really paranoid about people stamping your head. I hate that. Right? That's how people get killed. It's only football. So for whatever, I managed to bounce up. See, during the time I'm getting down, I'm like, bloody painting shoes, it's causing that, right? I'm actually talking to myself, saying, don't get knocked out, and it's these shoes. I'm actually bounced up. So by this time, instead of going, right, there's many of them, about 20 of them, and I'm like, fuck, hold on. I went, it's football. I went, I'm a bad guy, I'm in my 40s. He was in trouble within 5 minutes. Next one I heard was, get up again. So next, I thought it was gang hands. At CBC, the video was actually one guy's coach, right? But I'm thinking, I'm going, you're doing good. I'm trying to crawl to this pub, it was at the Alpine Lodge. So I get to you, get the door shut. Pub's pretty empty, bar staff. There's a bouncer on night. Wasn't he empty at all? Oh my. I get into a wee kind of alcove and I'm like, I think that's on dummy. Next minute, the whole mob of them are at the pub trying to get in. So the wee wife behind the bar's like, Sandy, you need to find me. It's not even say my name. So I went, so next minute I'm helping the bouncer find me shut the door. There's find me signs, but can I keep them at bay? Right, and I always remember bounce like leather hair. And see if you've ever been hit with a bottle for a distance, right? You will hear an unmistakable and it'll go dink. So we're trying to get right. I'm like, they're gonna let me at this pub. I mean, see what I've done so wrong, right? I went, that's no football. And that's my hair thing. Big bouncer knocked to it.
Aye.
All right, I've got right my and the bar staff managed to get the door shut. So I'm sitting in that pub going, me. I went, I'm going, how did you just know, say, you didn't like football? You just had to say, I am Rangers. I went, you're suited and booted. Nobody's recognised you. I went, I'm out of your shoes. I went, what is the matter with you? You couldn't just take a sensible route. And I can't. I'll never deny what I'm all about. And I'm like, it's just in me. It's just intrinsic. The normal thing would have been to walk away. And see, as I say about like things like Slateford, I know when I felt I've let people down. And I don't like it. I'm no perfect. But I know when I feel, you know what? Maybe I should have took it in.
One last question. Would you change then?
No.
You could do it all again. Is there anything you would have changed?
No, I remember my mum. No, nothing changed. I wish I was a wee bit better. I have been a good fella. No, I've not been perfect, right? I haven't seen, right? But I have been a good fella. No, because I was brought up, I know. I don't want to take my wings and see my three kids. I go to my ex-wife. I've got another kid. I don't know. But see my four kids, see my three kids. A credit to their missus. Mm. And I must have done a wee bit of that and all, because they're nothing like their dad. One played for Rangers for 5 years. One was at pro youth with Motherwell, whatever. And all this boy, my ex-wife, is doing really well. Really great kids. Couldn't ask for better. I'm not saying they're perfect, right? Mm. They've all got their wee fault. But they're nothing like their dad. They're not their dad, right? Because a lot of people have wings and try to find me. But no, I don't regret anything, right? Should I have done things? No. No, but see one thing I say to my wings and all, see every decision I've made rightly or wrongly for the age of 16 when I could take responsibility, I've made that decision and it's mine. Nobody forced me. Don't ever let MD force you, right? Rightly or wrongly, I've made decisions. Some have been good, a lot have been bad, but know what? I've owned every one of them. Aye, it's on me. So no regrets. I think I'm a great believer in fate and all, right? And I just think, growing up, I was just fated. See what I can get. See, because you write a book and have on the internet and that now. And people, I'm lucky I'm kind of quite weird, I'm kind of quite normal. You know what I mean? But I just don't get it. I'm just a wee guy for East End. But the whole thing about football, don't know. But no, I don't regret it. I wouldn't change in, right? Because probably the biggest regret in life is selling drugs and getting that right, because it, my life could have been maybe different. I don't know, but I'd probably still been a footballer. I might get to jail with that, but I might have had the opportunity to go when I got coaching badges to go to America and that. Because what a lot of people don't know, I know John Cerullo, I'd just about finished with HND. I was coaching Clyde. I was getting paid for coaching, because I'm no thing. I was good at football's a dead simple game, right? But see, the main thing in us, communication. Like, you know that, and all, you're a great communicator, big man. Some people don't like that. Some people don't like it at all, and being open, speaking the mind. And I think I'm a wee bit childlike. Treat people the way you want to be treated, unless they're looking for it. No, but no, no regrets, big man. Sorry, I'm rambling on.
See, to be fair, Sandy, if you changed anything in your life, it's sliding doors and things are taking different directions. I'm glad you didn't, because see, if you did, I might not have been your pal. And I love being your pal.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Craig.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.